Hi, Daniel. My internet is not really cooperating with me this morning, so I'm going to try and keep my video off and see if that will help. But if it gets to the point where it's cutting out too bad for you to hear me, I have my cell phone and can always try and call in.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think that this should take terribly long. We covered a lot of what I wanted to in the last session.
Okay, great.
There's just the last couple of points that I felt were worth asking.
I'm sad I can't turn on my video right now because my cat is being hilarious.
Oh.
Oh, meow. Can you hear her meowing?
I heard one at least. But yeah. So yeah, like I said, this should be relatively short. And 30 minutes ago or so, I emailed you some of the paperwork that had my signatures on it.
Yep, got it.
Okay, yeah. So once you sign those the paperwork should be good for that, because I realized I didn't bring that up last time. Yeah.
I will print those off right now. My printer is ridiculously loud because it's from like 2009. Oh, wow. That is outrageously loud. Okay. I will sign and scan all of the paperwork.
Okay.
And I agree to the terms.
That's good.
Okay, I've got that done.
All right. Yeah, so similar to last time, before I start doing the interview, I'll do a pause and then I'll read a little intro and then we'll pick up with the last couple questions. So I'm good to go whenever you are.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Okay, so I'll pause now. All right. Today is May 13th, 2021. I am Daniel Erickson, and today I'm interviewing Caroline Lowry over Zoom about Oklahoma Humanities and her experience with the organization as part of Oklahoma Humanities' 50th anniversary project. So thank you for joining me again today.
Yes, I'm excited to continue our conversation.
Yeah. And so last time we covered most of what I wanted to about your background and sort of your position as executive director. And so what I wanted to pick up with is, what are your thoughts on the role and importance of the humanities in the public's life?
Oh, what an excellent question. That's just kind of like, why do you do this with your life? I think the humanities, which I sort of define as the study of the human experience, is vital to our society, specifically in America, to our democracy, as historians, kind of to our legacy. The humanities are the most uniting force that I've ever experienced. We are able to, through learning about someone else's experiences, connect with them in a way that forges a stronger, more well-informed community. And from that, you know, the sort of larger social indicators of the humanities are the very fabric of our democracy, civic engagement, looking at indicators such as voting and other forms of civic engagement, volunteerism, running for public office even. you engage with your communities when you care about your communities, and you engage with your larger communities, such as your democracy and your national neighbors, when you care. And that has to be personal. It has to be a connection that draws you to someone who's not like you. And the humanities are just so uniquely well suited to do that. I think by studying our past, we are inevitably more prepared for our futures, and it helps us understand our present. So the humanities, I like to say, are kind of this temporally unbound compass that no matter if we're looking back or trying to understand where we are, or perhaps trying to prevent a future that we see, the humanities are the tool. It's that compass that points us true north. And I think that there is nothing more vital. And the American people have agreed for the last more than 50 years, the American people have said, yes, this is so important that we will devote an entire federal funding agency, an entire, you know, division of our government to these endeavors. And I think that the humanities, especially as we, you know, every generation thinks that they're the politics are more divisive than ever. Every generation thinks that we're farther from where we used to be. Yet, you know, we continue towards this slow march towards forward progress. And I think if you study the humanities, it will not only provide perspective, but it will also provide encouragement that you're not alone, that we're not the first to ask these questions, and we won't be the last, but we can move the conversation along even an iota to get to where ultimately humanity is focused on what we do well and what we can do together, as opposed to what we can do apart. So the humanities are of the utmost importance. And I think that I'm not alone when I express that, but I think that, the humanities are absolutely vital.
Okay. And and I guess in a more general sense, how do you feel that, I guess in the large picture, the NEH, and in a more local picture, Oklahoma Humanities, how do you think these organizations have done for, to promote the humanities in America and in Oklahoma?
Well, for the National Endowment for the Humanities, that endowment, that federal source of funding, was signed into law in 1965 because of a grassroots movement. A group of academics and a group of artists, where we have always been, the people who are in this work have always been proclaiming the vital necessity of the arts and the humanities. And, it took a while before our federal government recognized those endeavors, but we have since 1965. And what that did was it just provided federal financial resources and other federal resources to sort of back up that feeling that the arts and humanities were important. It made that concrete policy. And from just a very practical standpoint, it went from being something we value in grandiose speeches to something we value in our federal budget. And there is a large distinction between those two. So of a matter of practicality, there was now funding for efforts in the arts and humanities. And anytime that you, the phrase, put your money where your mouth is, anytime you back up what you say is important with actual resources, then those endeavors will be long lasting. So Then on the state level, the National Endowment for the Humanities provides us with a general operating support grant, but as part of our federal regulation, we are required to match that of at least a 1-to-1 ratio. Whatever the federal government puts in, if we're saying this is important on a local grassroots level, you know, we have to illustrate that. So I do think that it's a way to catalyze local community building and resource building around the humanities. And I would venture to say the State Arts Council as well, although they do receive a state appropriation, so their allocations are a little bit different. But it is a way for our communities to show what they value. And the humanities encompass a lot of things. Some people think the humanities are hard to define, and it's more that they are experiencing the humanities sometimes without knowing it. You know, going to a museum exhibit that has, you know, contextual label copy, something as simple as that, you might not realize that those are the humanities. Or if you watch a movie and they have a conversation afterwards that interprets the film and sort of provides context for that, that's the humanities. And anytime you might go to a summer Chautauqua that has living history characters that relate the past to the present, that's the humanities. And I think that support for the humanities is broad on a national level, but it's also very acute on the local level as well. And I can really only speak to Oklahoma, but we have always outdone our federal match well above 1-to-1. So I think that it's then our task as the state's affiliate for the NEH to pass those resources along. Any of the funding that we don't need for our, excuse me, I have to sneeze. Oh, excuse me, I'm right by my nice sunny window. Any of the resources that we don't need for our administrative costs, so our rent, our salaries, our utilities, we redistribute statewide. We turn right around and give that federal funding across the state to communities across Oklahoma. And we serve all 77 counties. We have limited resources, but we use them wisely. And we are focused on maintaining the pipeline from the NEH to the individual citizen of Oklahoma. So we are really proud of our re-grants program, where we redistribute our federal funding, and as well our programs that we fundraise private dollars for. The NEH was always intended to be this public-private partnership through the state humanities councils. So it's sort of like the national level provides these resources, and then we sort of serve as that bird's eye view at the state level to then provide those resources to the communities of Oklahoma. And I think anytime that you have an institution that has resources on the national level, but also has the benefit of a local affiliation, that's where change is going to be made. No one knows their state like someone in their state. And I think the National Endowment for the Humanities saw that in their first pilot projects. We were one of 5 states to sort of pilot this national funding. And there were other models across the state that didn't work. Smaller academic committees. There were several other models, and the NEH saw that having a local affiliate was really the best way to ensure that the financial resources and the sort of infrastructure was in place to make change on a local level that then collectively led to this national impact. And it's been incredible. I mean, we've granted millions of dollars. All the other states have as well. We've done you know, thousands upon thousands of public programs. We've impacted hundreds of thousands of people over the last 50 years. And every state has the same bragging rights, every jurisdiction, every territorial humanities council, to where when we zoom out, we're able to see this massive collective impact that has increased civic education, has increased community engagement, has increased learning and understanding and appreciation of diverse perspectives on this massive national scale. And we also have the ability to zoom that lens right back in to the macro level and say, we have also impacted the lives of individual Oklahomans. And I think that that's really unique for an organization to be part of a larger collective impact while making a measurable difference in their local communities.
Okay. And looking into the future, where do you hope that, you know, during your time as executive director, you can take Oklahoma Humanities?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I absolutely love this work. It's my life's work. I hope I'm here for, you know, 40 years, although that would be, someone would need to roll me out of my office if I was here for that long. I would just say, if I'm able to leave a legacy of extended stability financially and programmatically, I would like to see us grow in that way. We are sort of scalable, which is unique for nonprofits. We're able to do more if we have more. And that is sort of true across the board with our program specifically. So I would like to see us grow in our financial sort of in the diversity of our revenue streams, as well as sort of long-term financial planning, as well as long-term program planning and infrastructure. I think that we have done what we do well for the last 50 years, and I want to make sure that it stays that way, while also keeping an eye on how we can continue to creatively engage Oklahomans. Oklahoma is unique in its diversity. There is no one Oklahoma story. We are this incredible tapestry of narratives. And I think that I hope that my tenure here increases the volume and the frequency of those more diverse narratives that might sometimes be left in the background. And I also hope that we continue to find ways to engage Oklahomans where they are, and not sort of pejoratively tell them where they need to be. That's not our place. Our place is to meet you where you are and hopefully show you and sort of both listen and direct the conversation, so that when we leave, we're both more in tune with each other and engaged with our communities. So I would say we have an incredible legacy of stability, and this is just the sort of data nerd in me, but we have a long legacy of excellent federal compliance and data collection and evaluation. And I would love to continue that legacy, as well as sort of build on those areas where we see opportunities for advancement or improvement.
Okay. Well, that covers just about everything that I wanted to ask. So is there anything else that you, you know, feel is important to share that you haven't yet?
No, I mean, I think we've covered everything. I'm just really excited to celebrate our 50th anniversary. And hopefully when we're post-pandemic and able to gather in person, this will be an incredible component of a larger initiative to celebrate and commemorate the impact of federal funding for the humanities.
Yeah. But, well, in that case, I think we can end it here.
Okay, excellent. Well, I will scan you my forms, and I will see you later this afternoon at the wrap-up.
Yeah, I'll see you there too.
Okay, right. Hopefully my internet is working by then.
Yeah. All right, thanks for doing this.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.